Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
And welcome back. We are going to get back into the Constitution since we're literally in the transition of the Constitution and then the amendments. And since the amendments are next, we're going to take advantage because a little bit has happened since we started diving into the Constitution. And I've got to tell you, I find it ironic that Ruth Bader Ginsburg, and I probably got that wrong because you know how I am regarding names. It's Ruth Bader Ginsburg. There we go. Apparently, she died the day after Constitution Day. Well, I guess she couldn't take another constitutional celebration because she was such a fan of such a brilliant, inspired document. Obviously, obviously now the ball is in Trump's court, who has nominated. Now, who was it again? I think it's Coney Barrett. And I think it's, she has a Vivian for middle name or whatever. Anyway, so most people like her choice. I've yet to be impressed with a judge and or a lawyer that actually stands up for the Constitution. I've even dealt with, and I know some pretty good constitutional lawyers, but they do not break away from the paradigm of court jurisdictions and so forth. And so bottom line, I don't think that we're going to be overwhelmed, or let me just say, I don't think people's expectations are going to be met, but I'll get into that in just a minute. Let me at least cover the basics. This show was also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. And this is the only show that gives you the academic-based evidence. We really don't, I really don't care about entertaining. I may make jokes and so forth, and I try to, you know, use a little levity, but really it comes down to there's probably no more serious matter than actually getting people to take a stand to defend our liberties and to preserve our Constitution. I have been asking you, and if you haven't, you need to go through our previous podcast. If you don't understand the context of this question, of asking you to ponder on your role in First Amendment petitions, ponder on your responsibility to calling for common law grand juries, and your responsibility as a member of the militia. Whether you like it or not, you are a member of the militia. Now, you can become a part of the organized militia, but whether you like that or not, you are a member of the unorganized militia. Therefore, I think everybody, if you didn't know, everybody has a responsibility to have a gun and a mechanism of enforcement because we have a responsibility to ensure that the Constitution is enforced so that when tyrannical thugs come along and say, "Where's your mask?" and they want to arrest you, you have to be able to assert your authority that is an unconstitutional law. Now, I also understand that we have to pick our battles because some people are doing things that are far more important than fighting, you know, the day-to-day little minutiae. And so, you know, if you want to get snared into, you know, a conflict and our potential getting arrested, or actually just getting bigger things done, taking care of picking, you know, lower hanging fruit and clearing the, you know, the list of things that need to be done, then as far as I'm concerned, there you go. That's what we need to do. The whole focus of Republic Review, the whole focus of what we're doing is all about compliance. We are only asking that the federal government and every politician comply to the Constitution as they are duty bound to do so. This is why we have the high ground in removing AOC, Omar, and all of the rest of these rebels that are actually violating and supporting open rebellion against our Constitution. What are you going to do about it? I've asked you to ponder. Let's just keep on pondering. Now, we did focus on the Electoral College, and I will tell you that you need to go back to Tuesday's broadcast last week and listen to the Electoral College. That whole day was focused on the Electoral College so that you can understand how we're not following the upcoming election process and how I would love to see more people clamor, why is it that we allow our government to disenfranchise us? Because as you vote in your congressional district, that elector should be representing you in the choosing of the president. The Constitution has given the state legislatures no authority to compromise for political purposes and dictate the outcome of your choosing of your elector. That is not in the Constitution. Anyway, I haven't asked and I haven't had the opportunity, because we've been really focused on going through the Constitution, to pursue, to seek, to ask you to please help sharing this message, help getting this out, because obviously it is getting out, but we need everybody to start having these same conversations. I relish in the day when we can actually stop focusing on all these little things that are going on, because the day's got to come when we start arresting these anarchist ingrates that are out breaking laws and are out doing things deliberately to undermine our form of government. We've got to stop this. This cannot continue, okay? And I hope everybody is enjoying life without professional sports and the social justice warriors who are out there insulting us and telling us that we're racist, that our system is oppressive, when there are people all over the world that are dying to be able to come here for a very specific reason, because of the liberties and the freedom that are offered here. I am just tired of these hypocrites trying to poke us in the eye. And so this is literally, hopefully, a turning point of independence. You know, I don't care if my former teams win the World Series, the Super Bowl, or anything. I really don't care. I don't care about sports anymore. I'm done. I mean, sports is fun to play. I mean, as a kid, that's all it is play. So it's just like playing, you know, chess. It's like playing cards. It's just a game. And it's sad that we've allowed them to become such opulent elitists to be able to look down their nose and judge us. You've got to be pissed off about that. And I'm liking and appreciating the fact that I'm seeing more and more people. As a matter of fact, people that used to, last year, there were some people that were conservatives that would still be chattering about what's going on in the game. I am seeing zero from these people now. And that's a good thing. I don't think we're getting the honest numbers as to how much viewer base and how much support that they have lost over the past couple of years, because they wanted to politicize their position in society. And who do these guys think they are? It's the same thing with Bruce Springsteen and the rest of these. And I'm creating a meme that is talking about hypocrisy. You got to remember that the revolution, the counterculture revolution, was basically saying government has no business doing these things. You know, tune out. And now these same people Like, you know, apparently we don't have the ability to remember what the counterculture revolution was. Now these same people are leading it, you know, the charge. Empower government. Government needs to, you know, dictate everything. Are you, see? Do you not see the hypocrisy? Bruce Springsteen and the rest of these pukes? Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. I could just go on and on. Almost every single one of these that were huge champions of freedom are now basically the cheerleaders for communism. There you go. Anywho, let me, I don't want to get into music because that could actually take way too long. Let me get back into, and what we're going to do is we're going to go through some need-to-know news. But we want to get into the SCOTUS thing. You know, like I said, I thought it was ironic that Ruth Bader, you know, Constitution Day killed Ruth Bader Ginsburg, or she just couldn't sustain her celebration that Constitution is still alive and still ticking. It's still clinging on, and she's not been successful in tearing it asunder. I hope. Now, see, there's some nice things I've learned about Miss Barrett, you know, and I believe that what is going to end up happening in the confirmation process is Feinswine is going to start using religious tests, because anytime they talk about a person's faith and or any aspects, and see, somehow all of a sudden your perception on creation, your perception on abortion, those aren't faith-based issues anymore. And absolutely they are. And so I would love to see her stand up and say, you do realize you've crossed the boundaries of creating a religious test. And so with that, we're at a hard break. So we will come back regarding this religious test that I actually, you know, went sideways on when we were talking about this in the Constitution. We will get right back to this, and we will give you my thoughts on what will happen and what won't happen. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so when they have these hearings are basically questions that are determining whether a person is qualified for public service and or the trust of an office. And so when Diane Feinswine decides to ask a question regarding a person's faith and or their position on abortion or faith-based issues, she has crossed the line because the Constitution states no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification. So what any good judge and what any good appointment should say is, are you aware, Ms. Feinswine, that you have violated the Constitution by requiring me to answer a question that is religious based in this qualification hearing? Because what she is doing is she is inserting religious tests. Oh, well, how are you regarding this? And nowhere, nowhere does the court or the government have any jurisdiction in determining what is religious and what isn't. As a matter of fact, counter-religion, things that are anti-religious, are religious of themselves. Godlessness is a religion. And this is why, if anybody that's read my book and anybody that has read Milton Friedman's Free to Choose, it is clear that the federal government has established a church, and it's a godless, Christless church. They have basically converted the United States government into an anti-Christ church. That's it. Because they're the ones that dictate whether you can pray, and they are saying, thou shalt not bring any god before our godlessness. Anyway, what do I expect that will happen? I expect her to get nominated. I mean, Romney and everybody else seems to have at least the 51 votes necessary. Now, this is a dangerous precedent because, bottom line, that is not representative, and it is moving us more and more closer to a mob rule democracy because that's how they have done this. Now, I expect her to get seated. I expect this to be a circus because the left is going to, as eloquently as possible, try to go after her. And the only thing that they really can go after her is her faith. Because do they have it was the movement of bringing down senators and even Kavanaugh and the Me Too movement. There it is. I'm sorry. Sorry for the brain fart. The Me Too movement has nothing on Ms. Barrett. And so what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They have to go after her faith. And so just expect that to be the charade. But what you should really understand, one, is the fact that they are injecting a religious test and are violating the Constitution in doing so. I will also say that as you look and listen to how they phrase their questions and what they are attacking, I am telling you, you are seeing the face of the intolerance towards religion. As government continues, it's not getting any better. And as the left continues to build their control of government, they are going, I mean, they've already closed down your churches, friends. This is how bad it's gotten. So what I expect to happen after she gets seated is I expect to see some favorable decisions by the court. Some. What I expect will never to happen, I do not expect a reduction in the unconstitutional jurisdiction of the court system. Or a reining in, I just don't expect this to happen. I do not believe that they will rein in this unconstitutional federal government to say you have no jurisdiction in these matters. This is not an enumerated power. They're never going to do that. As a matter of fact, I've yet to see anybody ever step in who used demagoguery that they shouldn't be doing it. They can't do this. This is wrong. Like Obamacare. and then all of a sudden, you know, be offering their own solution to them. Are you kidding me? You know, I have had, and I've engaged with what I believe to be, you know, these pseudo conservatives, and I'll get into that. But it just seems like the people that are calling themselves constitutionalists or champions of the Constitution, they don't want to really see the Constitution restored. They're the perverters of the Constitution, as far as I'm concerned. So the one thing that we won't also see, by the way, as you've heard this probably, you've even seen this in shows like Seinfeld, where, you know, the guy says, boy, all we need is a couple of good justices and we can overturn Roe v. Wade. That ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. And as a matter of fact, the court system, by definition in the Constitution, is a passive institution. So anyway, let's have another conversation about who's next. Because now that Ruth Bader Ginsburg has, you know, and I do not revel in the death of anybody, but now that she has passed, well, who's next? Well, here it is, a Clinton appointee, Stephen G. Breyer, who is obviously sitting on the bench, but he was born August 15th, 1938. My friends, this guy is, what, 80-some years old, 82? I'm telling you that he's well beyond his life expectancy in the United States, because life expectancy for men is 79.5 years old. So don't be surprised that Trump may actually have, if he's reelected, he'll have an opportunity to replace this, one more, and have a mark on one-third. One-third of the Supreme Court will be basically, you know, Trump judges. Anyway, that is the reality. I think the next person in line might be Clarence Thomas, and he's, shoot, I think 10 years younger than Mr. Breyer. So anyway, there you go. I mean, it's a good thing to see such a good qualified person being nominated, but I'm here to tell you that, you know, I do not see a lawyer actually overstepping, because, you know, when they cited, when I listened to Fox, and, you know, I only listen via radio, but when I listened to Fox over the weekend, they actually cited the oath. Did you notice that they have alleviated Section 6 of the oath regarding the Constitution, requiring that all judges must support the Constitution? There is no requirement for a federal judge to support the Constitution. They're just supposed to faithfully execute, you know, in accordance with the Constitution. There's a huge difference between being bound to support the Constitution and being bound to ensure justice is served without bias. What? What does that mean? And this is where the latitude comes in. We need to start enforcing the oath of office and making sure everybody takes an oath of office. Now, we did post, and I think I mentioned this before. If you go to the Moby Strip Press page on Facebook, or you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, and you go to the Take Action page, we have a message to Trump, and I've actually gotten a lot of online responses. And as a matter of fact, I've gotten lots of good responses, but the two negative, because I want to focus on the negative, of course, is a person, and I won't mention it, but a person, you know, piped up and says, the president doesn't have power over the governors. And I go, well, yeah, you're kind of correct, but the president does have a responsibility of enforcing the Constitution. His oath basically mandates that he must faithfully execute the laws, that he is to protect and defend the Constitution. And when you have governors and politicians that are openly rebelling against the Constitution and supporting insurgencies, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment trumps, and I don't mean that Trump isn't president, it is superior. It actually requires that the president if nobody else will do this, if the secretaries of state, if the attorney generals of the state, if nobody is going to remove these people, the president clearly has the power. My retort back in this one thread was, show me where the president cannot defend the Constitution and has no power to enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Show me where it is stipulated, either in the debates, show me in the documentation that the president shall not be able to enforce the removal of politicians that are openly rebelling against the Constitution, or show me the amendment that has basically set aside Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Show me. And crickets. And as a matter of fact, what ends up happening is people will post a post like that, and then I, you know, have to respond. And that's what I did in kind with this one. I basically sent back my response to, you know, them. Can you defend this? And they refused to do anything. So what I ended up doing was I said, well, an assertion unsupported is hoisting one's own petard. And I'm hoping that you understand what that means, because basically they just blew themselves up if they can't support their assertion. And so it kind of forces their hand. But anyway, we're in a hard break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about another engagement in social media that we've had with pseudo-constitutionalists. We'll be right back.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so the other, and I'll say it was a group because I was actually just engaging with one person who I'd engaged with before, and they had this really super secret, super small, quote-unquote constitutional forum of exactly what needs to be done. And the ringleader happens to tout his credentials from Hillsdale College. And to be honest with you, I've never seen or met anybody from Hillsdale College that really understands the Constitution, because Hillsdale College teaches the academically approved version of the college, and it recognizes the court's primary role. It does not recognize the ratification debates, their legal standing as the terms and definitions of the Constitution. They don't recognize it as a compact and so forth. So anyway, there's lots of challenges that that people have after they've gone and supposedly either got certified, get their degree or whatever from Hillsdale College regarding the Constitution. There are all sorts of challenges for these people to break the paradigm that they've been indoctrinated with, because Hillsdale College embraces the revision and the rebranding of our Constitution. So anyway, I was just engaging because these guys were going after Trump. And so I basically, you know, piped in to say, hey, look, supposedly they posted grievances. What's posting grievances? Anyways, I basically piped in with the fact that, you know, there were 29 states that stood up against Obamacare, 26 sued collectively, and 3 independently opposed Obamacare on their own. And so as I started engaging, and they talked about corruption and so forth, I used the term drain the swamp, and an individual decided to, you know, label me as a Trump fanatic. And I'm not a Trump fanatic. I'm not a fanatic of any politician. I believe politicians are either supporting the Constitution and they're fulfilling their oath of office, or they're violating it. And you've heard my position regarding Trump on whether he is supporting the Constitution or not. Now, in reality, in contrast to what we would have gotten with Hillary Clinton, I believe that America it has been better off because we did not vote for Clinton. I truly believe that Biden is even worse than Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is, let's just say, an ardent activist, and she would not allow the globalists. I mean, it would be her agenda, and, you know, it would be her version on how to implement the, you know, the next phase and next steps of the globalist agenda. I'm here to tell you, Biden is an idiot, and Biden will basically be a puppet because he doesn't have any vision. He doesn't have any... he doesn't have his own plan. He just basically, I mean, shoot, his position, and you'll be able to watch the debates on Tuesday. The question is, will I watch the debates on Tuesday? And my wife and I gave up on, we've stopped paying for television a long, long time ago, just because we realized that there was just nothing on that was worth having. We're better off. We spend our money on buying either the content that we want, and then we own it. We don't have to pay these nefarious companies like Netflix or what have you to, you know, constantly have a subscription so that we can watch this over and over again or what. Anyway, back to this group, though. I challenged this idiot for calling me, you know, basically judging me. And I said, so you're really quick to judge somebody that you don't even know. And, you know, then he started defending that. And that became an ancillary issue because they just kept on defending. Instead of saying, yeah, okay, you're right. I really don't know you, and I judged you out of turn. Or if you say you're not, then okay, but whatever. But I was just, they instantly tried to label. And so, when you see conservative organizations, because my reply back, I believe what I said is, are you a John Bircher that tries to utilize political correctness and label lynching people because, you know, their choice of words? Or are you just really that quick to judge? And anyway, and so this kind of went on this ancillary thread. But what really, you know, I was engaged with the ringleader in the Constitution, because these guys are, and they have been, they've been advocating this reset. And I'm going, what the heck is a reset? Come on, what is this? Because if in definition, a reset is like a wiping away and going back to. Now, Republic Review is a process of restoring and undoing very specific things. But what was what was actually quoted was, we need a reset back to 1781. And I'm going, hold on, you're talking about a reset back to the Articles of Confederation, doing away with the Constitution altogether? What kind of idiots are these people? The other fact is, in context to a reset in getting there requires a huge, and we're not talking about a constitutional process like Republic Review. We're just talking about a revolution to literally, you know, push us into that. And I just, it's unreasonable. It's a, you know, it's a, almost a utopian type of paradigm. But bottom line, you know, my comment back to the guy was going, hey, look, I mean, you know, are you really going to just go back to the Articles of Confederation? And the ringleader came back and said, well, we are okay with going back to 1791 with the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. And I go, hold on. You know, if you're in support of the Constitution, are you telling me that the constitutionally ratified amendments like the 12th Amendment, the original 13th or the existing 13th or the 14th, more importantly, the 14th? Because if you don't include the 14th, which would give you both 13s and 12 and 11, you know, you're losing some huge gains that we the people received out of the 14th Amendment. And anyway, instead of really defending themselves, they kind of have gone off into, you know, a no response mode. Well, friends, if you're going to put something out and, you know, you get challenged on it, you need to defend that position and or at least concede, well, this is what I'm speaking. And you know, if you want to call it a defense or at least, you know, a clarity to why you're taking this position. And in discourse, you know, there's obviously that evidence will be brought forward or other points will be brought out. What about this and that? And it requires, you know, for things to move their own volition. What I found is that these pseudo-constitutionalists that step up and because in one case, one person didn't even understand the Section 3 of the 14th Amendment was saying that the president doesn't even have this authority. I go, you need to read Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. You know, that who else can enforce that? If nobody else, it can be and should be the president. Anyway, it's important when you start engaging that you don't actually allow yourself to put an assertion out without actually, I'll just say, without actually defending it and supporting your assertion. It's almost, if you understand the term hoisting one's own petard, it means that you've kind of fatally injured yourself by failing to do what you should have done. Because bottom line, you've thrown something out there that you actually need to deal with. It's like a grenade. You better throw it and launch it and defend that act. If not, you've basically sat on it and have become fatally wounded. But anyway, look up the term hoisting one's petard. Anyway, I will just tell you this, that the shutdown and the blue state Republicans are failing to, you know, to truly seize the truth and what's going on. So the question is, are we going to see some blue states turn red or blue state legislatures turn more red? I am failing to see that these blue state Republican organizations are failing to seize the truth. As a matter of fact, I had a conversation this weekend with a party member, you know, and the conversation basically went like this. I mean, they want to drill into a single issue. And I said, hey, look, you know, we live in a blue state and the Republicans need to make the governor and make the Democrats own this shutdown. And so we talked about the different things of the shutdown and they want to only focus on schools. But as far as I'm concerned, make them own the entire thing because then you're going to carry a much broader message to a much wider audience because a lot of people are more concerned with the fact that they've lost their job, they've lost their livelihood, they're now dependent on handouts from government or welfare from some source. And so there's those people. There's those people that have been affected because they can't buy the things they need because certain businesses and manufacturing have been shut down. Healthcare. You can't even have access to healthcare. As an aside, let me just say this. Healthcare insurance companies will be and should be posting a banner year in profits because all the people who are paying and all the money that they're receiving because government has to pay for healthcare insurances because everybody has to be covered. And who's going in to the doctor? You can't even go into the doctor to get a little owie fixed. I mean, it's such a pain in the butt. People are just administering self-aid and administering their own home remedies and those types of things. So they should have a huge profit because they're not spending money in taking care of you. Anyway, before I run out of time, we'll get back into this whole marketing concept of what the Republicans need to be doing. So we'll be right back.
Folks, Red State Talk Radio has brought back its monthly newsletter. I know everyone gets a lot of emails, but this is not a daily or weekly newsletter. It's a monthly newsletter. So you will not be overwhelmed with a plethora of emails from Red State Talk Radio. Come on, it's only once a month. I'll be contributing a constitutional perspective to one of the current issues to help everyone see an alternative perspective or what I believe would be a framer's perspective regarding the issue to help us maintain a constitutional paradigm. I will also provide information regarding a significant historical context to the time of year so that we can remember our history so we will not be doomed to repeat the inevitable failings from forgetting our past and origins. Just go to Red State Talk Radio and sign up for the newsletter. This way you can get a focused view of what is going on in the Republic as well as what is going on at Red State Talk Radio. Thank you.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so let me finish what the Republicans really need to be doing regarding this upcoming election. They need to make these blue governors and the blue state legislatures own this shutdown. We need to actually start marketing that this is, the Democrats are the shutdown of liberty. They're the shutdown of independence. They're the shutdown of freedom. They are the shutdowns and the Caesars of power. And when I say Caesar, I don't mean like the Roman Empire and the Emperor Caesar. What I mean by that is they are the ones who have seized and have abused their position. Clearly, it's one thing to get out and start teaching because, as I told this gentleman, you've got this umbrella. Make the Democratic Party own the shutdown umbrella. And there's different ways you can actually start going out and targeting different factions because people are affected differently. And you want to be able to, get everybody to come together on this shutdown umbrella. So you've got the work aspect of people who have been lost their ability to, provide for their family. There's the retail factor and the manufacturing factor of things not being available. The healthcare factor, as we were going into break, I was pointing out that the healthcare industry ought to be having a banner year because nobody's able to really get their healthcare. You can't go in. As a matter of fact, they're making all sorts of exceptions. Remember how they wouldn't give you your prescriptions unless you had to blood test and all these? They're waiving that crap now. just because they know that, you know, you are, don't want to go into, who wants to go into a doctor's office when that's usually where the plague is because somebody is sick and, oh, I've got the plague. Schools have also been shut down and churches have been shut down and out of the focus, get out on the internet, even Bing today. Microsoft Bing is offering and has a campaign so that you can help fund schooling. Hold on. Why are we funding these brick and mortar schools and why are we funding education the way it is? We are learning now that education in the model that they are using today in the brick and mortar classrooms and the indoctrination is far worse and it's crappy and more expensive than for the amount of money we spend on children for education. I think it's like $20,000 a year for a child to, and that's how much money goes into the education system. I would rather see pennies or a portion of that money just being given to the family to pay for their costs, to reimburse them for their internet and reimburse them for their access to the education necessary and force homeschooling. The funny thing or the sad thing is, out of all of these things, it seems like, or at least this one person is of the opinion, this political operative who's a part of the Republican Party, feels that there are more people that are upset that they can't send their kids to school to be indoctrinated than they are over their ability to go to church to worship Christ. They're more upset about schools than they are that they can't even go out and make money to put food on the table to keep the roof over there. Well, as long as government's going to keep handing them out, then that's not a big deal. But get my kids out of my house 5 days out of the week. I need a break. Are you kidding me? This is an indictment that these types of attitudes even exist, that people are having children, but they don't want to have children. For some reason, they just want some of the benefits that come with having a child, whether that be the tax benefits or what have you. And that's a terrible indictment. Why would parents not want a better education, especially why would they even want to throw their kids into a known indoctrination system? One of the things that I've pointed out, and I have said this for 2 years now, I have pointed to the statistics that almost every 4 years, 4 million, more than 4 million kids, I think currently in high school alone, there are 15 million kids. What does that mean? Over the next 4 years, there will be 15 million kids entering into the electorate. With this indoctrination system that is so successful, and the John Birchers and other people that think that we're going to educate our way out of this, I'm sorry, we've just lost that battle. Because they own the education system. They have been successfully indoctrinating these stupid... I also saw a recent person reporting that they were in Washington, D.C., that they've attended. And I'm serious. Look at these Black Lives Matter protest groups, or I should say rallies, when they have rallies and the people standing around. Majority of the people aren't Black. The majority of the people are stupid kids, teenagers that are, you know, just so upset about racist America, you know. And I'm going, you got to be kidding me. Evil is good and good is evil. And that's what we're seeing. That's exactly what we're witnessing today, my friends. I'm just saying that if you want to actually start shaking up and you want real results to change your blue state red, you need to be seizing the opportunity that the Democrats have given you with their shutdown society. Make them own the umbrella. And I also mentioned to this operative, I said the handle of the umbrella is the few people that understand the Constitution. Put it out to the people so that they can understand that the states have no authority to pass laws that violate the Constitution. The Emergency Power Acts do not allow you to violate these constitutions, or I should say these very specific constitutional rights that we have. They don't have the power. even in martial law, they wouldn't have the power to do that if they actually could legitimately declare martial law by deploying the militia. My friends, what we're seeing today is an all-out onslaught. And as a matter of fact, almost every aspect is being attacked. As a matter of fact, leftists like Lemon on CNN and Oliver, John Oliver, you know, the ironic thing is I believe both of these guys are Brits. They don't even understand our Constitution, and they're ripping the Electoral College. I'm ripping the Electoral College because we're not even following it. Because we've surrendered our choosing of the president to the parties and the party bosses. We need to get back to the Constitution. If we want to truly see, you know, what would really happen under the functioning of the Constitution and actually complying, I'm telling you one thing, we would never get a communist as the president again. Because the majority of America and the majority of the Electoral College seats would go for liberty. Just look at the county map of how people vote. And this is how we have been, and they're trying to push us into a mobocracy to where the majority of the populace dictate how we're going to live. And that is the antithesis of our constitutional republic. Anyway, what we're going to do, because we're running out of time, we are going to get into the need-to-know news and so forth. But I will tell you, I'm begging you to go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, the Take Action page, cut and paste that message, and send that message to Trump. We're going to have a follow-on message. We're going to send about two more messages. And each of these messages is going to provide a general view of what he needs to do, how, you know, where this power comes from, why this is what it is. Because most people look at, like, you know, there's due process. You just can't remove a politician. Absolutely. If that politician has disqualified themselves, they're not entitled to due process. There is no crime. It's not like we're putting these guys in jail. It's not like we're taking away their liberty. The whole point of due process is because before you can incarcerate a person, and we're not incarcerating any of these politicians, you have to understand that they have disqualified themselves and are no longer eligible to ever serve as a public servant again. Simple. Now go get a job and do something else. You've been fired. Anyway. And it's just like that. You don't get due process when you're firing somebody because they've actually disqualified themselves. Anyway, so what we want to do is we kind of want to move forward and we want to make sure that you actually start sending these messages to Trump so that and just cut and paste that. Just put that in there so that they can start seeing that people want to get these. And I had somebody come along and say, you know, that's a bad thing because, you know, I don't want to see that get out of hand to where we start removing good people because they're using it as a political weapon of getting rid of people. And I go, as long as we're very clear on compliance of the Constitution, I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat. If they're not complying to the Constitution, then they need to be removed immediately because they are under oath to support the Constitution. And if they and there are ways, I've already told you that every state should have a constitutional resource so that everybody, we need to start implementing standards for every public servant. They have to pass a test. Man, you don't even understand the Constitution. You're not even qualified to put your name on the ballot. You have to at least understand government. We have literally need to start creating standards. If government could create standards to plumbing, electrical, and any other types of professions out there, they can easily set standards for politicians as long as those standards do not have religious standing. And so with that, when we come back, we're going to get into some very interesting information that J. Edward Griffin has provided over the past couple of weeks that we haven't talked about. And so we will do some more marketing tomorrow, and then we'll get back into the Constitution once we've gone through that. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.